Well, the text this morning is actually in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 21. And for those of you who have been here for this year, you'll know that we are on the first Sunday of every month, we're doing a spiritual discipline. And some of you are going, this isn't the first Sunday of the month. And if you're doing that, you're right. Next Sunday, Lisa and I are planning on not being here. We're going to, on Friday, drive down to Modesto for the celebration of life for Mrs. Rife. And we might be back for service, we might not. It depends on how it goes. The service is Saturday afternoon, and afterwards we might drive straight back. We might hang out down there with other people and just enjoy the reunion that we will have and stuff. So we don't know. So what we've done is I've decided to do the spiritual discipline today, and then Pastor Frank will be preaching next week in a series that he was going to do, and we've just kind of bumped everything forward. So he is going to be doing that. I will be honest with you, today, it's just a been a day. That's all there is to it. We walked in this morning, and the alarm was going off on the elevator. It's flooded down there, and I spent the first half hour, 40 minutes, squeegeeing water and cleaning up, and come in here to kind of put the stuff together and get set. And then I have some people come running in going, there's a mouse. And I got to go and chase the mouse down, and I was sitting over there, and it was just hard for me to focus, and hard for me to worship, to get into it. It's just been one of those days. But a great song, God is Good. And all the time. Thank you. Some of you, and it's just amazing to see you all in discussions and we helping each other and working for each other and caring for each other with the questions. And when Willa May's wanting to stand up and you all helping her and just watching you all love on each other. It is really cool. It is really, really amazing. And I enjoy doing that. Watching you and working with you and being with you. I am glad that you are family. I really, really am. And, The spiritual discipline, and I have no idea where I'm at in my notes there, so I'll try to get to them in a couple minutes. The spiritual discipline that we're going to be looking at today is this discipline of submission. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to read for you from Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 21. And if you have your Bible, you can follow along there. Aaron will get the words up here for you, and you can follow that way. Or if you want, just sit and listen. And here's how it goes. Ephesians 5, 15 through 21 says, "Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ." Now, several of the spiritual disciplines that we've already looked at are countercultural. We've looked at fasting, when our culture calls us to consume. We've looked at confession. When our society and our culture tells us there's really nothing wrong and there is not really anything as sin anymore. We have looked at solitude, when our culture calls us to fill our ears and our eyes and our minds with all kinds of distractions. But out of all the spiritual disciplines, I think that this one, the discipline of submission, is the most countercultural. See, if you explain to a workmate or somebody why you're fasting or why you spend time praying or meditating or even time in confession, they might think that you're a little bit weird. But if you explain to them why you choose to live a life of submission, they're probably going to tell you you're wrong. I got to take a time out for a minute. I'm sorry. You know, I'm standing up here. You all look like you're a long, long ways off. You really do. You're so far back there. Thank you. I was waiting for that invitation. This is so much better. Verse 21 says to submit to one another. Submission in our society is a bad word. We make heroes out of people who won't submit to anyone's authority. You never hear Mel Gibson or Bruce Willis or Sigourney Weaver talking about submission, unless it's when they're beating that bad guy into submission. The model for our age is outplay, outwit, outlast, not submit. It's not too surprising that God's values look upside down from the world's perspective. Well, let's look at God's values here and God's perspective and His call on our life. You see, Christian submission, it is not about being a doormat. Paul, who writes this passage that we've actually been going through, deals harshly with both secular authorities and Christian brothers and sisters when they overstep their bounds and they treat him as less than he is. You see, the submission that Paul is calling us to is a mutual submission. Not one where there is one person in submission and another person in authority, but that we would submit to each other. I submit to you and you submit to me. See, we do not submit to others because that is what I deserve, this worm that I am. Richard Foster, in his book on disciplines, he writes, Jesus called us to self-denial without self-hatred. Self-denial is simply a way of coming to understand that we do not have to have it our own way. Our happiness is not dependent upon getting what we want. Self-denial does not mean the loss of our identity, as some suppose. You see, without our identity, we could not even be subject to one another. Did Jesus lose his identity when he responded to Golgotha and when he set his face toward Golgotha? Did Peter lose his identity when he responded to Jesus' cross-bearing command, follow me? Did Paul lose his identity when he committed himself to the one who said, and this is Jesus speaking, I will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name? Of course not. We know that the opposite was true. They actually found their identity in their self-denial. See, Christian submission is not about over-the-top politeness. You ever seen the cartoon with the two chipmunks? And they go out and one says, no, 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 after you. And the other one's responding, no, I insist you go first. You see, it is not the abdication or the resigning or the relinquishing of responsibility. And you can fill in any of those words you want into there, okay? So that we get nowhere. And that no decisions get made because we're so worried about stepping on each other's toes. Christian submission is not about the lowest common denominator. There's two guys, and they're out fishing on a boat. And one of them, every time he gets the worms out, he has to take the lid off quickly, pull the worm out, put the lid back on real quick. Otherwise, the fast worms, they might escape. The other fellow, he doesn't even have a lid on his container. He doesn't seem to have any worries that the worms are going to get away. Finally, the guy with the lid on his worms looks at the other guy and he says, why don't you worry about your worms escaping? And he responds, oh, that's easy. You have Canadian worms. I've got American worms. If one of mine gets a little bit higher than the rest, they pull him back down. Thank you. You see, Christian submission is not about keeping each other from getting ahead. Christian submission doesn't say, I'm not going to use my God-given gifts because I might make someone else look bad. See, there's a sense to this term submission. And that is coming under a person, not being held down by them. See, we come under them to help lift them up. So how would you describe submission? When you hear submission, what goes through your head? What is your definition of submission? I'll even wait for a response from a couple of you. Submission. Yeah, okay, before today. Okay, to do whatever somebody wanted when they wanted. Okay. Giving in. Okay. See, a definition that I have here, a voluntary attitude of giving in, cooperating, assuming responsibility, and carrying a burden. Very simply, you could say, put others first. Instead of looking out for ourselves, we are to be looking out for everyone else. And then they are to look out for us. I got your back, you got my back. And believe it or not, you all have been practicing it even this morning. Looking out for each other and helping each other. Foster continues and he says, every discipline has its corresponding freedom. What freedom corresponds to submission? It is the ability to lay down the terrible burden of always needing to get our own way. The obsession to demand that things go the way we want them to go is one of the biggest bondages in human society today. People will spend weeks, months, even years in a perpetual stew because some little thing did not go as they wanted it to. They will fuss and they will fume. They will get mad about it. They will act as if their very life hangs on that issue. They may even get an ulcer over it. In the discipline of submission, we are released to drop the matter, to forget it. Frankly, most of the things in our life are probably not nearly as important as we might think that they are. Our lives will not come to an end if we don't get this or we don't get that. You see, Christian submission, it flows out of strength, not out of weakness. If Jesus is our example, then listen to this. John chapter 13, verses 3 through 5 says, Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. Now, I don't know about you, but if I suddenly had this divine revelation like Jesus did, that I had all things under my feet, I might be tempted for at least just a little bit to see what that was like. Just to try it. But not Jesus. He took the lowest servant's job. It came from his place of strength. And that was his ability to serve. To willingly subject himself, even to his own disciples. Not as a weak person who had beaten down into submission, but as the strongest person in the universe. And he chose to submit. Philippians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. It's talking about Jesus here. It says, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. You know, we too, we come from a place of strength. Ephesians 1:3 says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. See, we respond to that strength, not by taking up some high-handed authority, but by submitting to each other. The most amazing picture that I have of submitting from a place of strength is that of Jesus standing before Pilate. Get the picture in your head. He's standing before Pilate, and Pilate asks Jesus a question, and Jesus stands there, silent. And then Pilate responds in John chapter 19, "You refuse to speak to me? Don't you realize that I have the power of either life to free you or to crucify you?" And Jesus responds, "You would have no power over me if it were not given to you from above." Pilate, this little governor from a backwater province of the Roman Empire, he has the creator of the universe standing before him in human form. And Jesus submits himself. Christian submission is not about placating or pacifying or appeasing a bully, but it is about serving that bully in love and in strength. Now, Christian submission, it must come in relationship. Without knowing each other, knowing the heart's desire, talking things through with each other, there can be no mutual submission. I have no idea where you're going, and you have no idea where I'm going. One will always just be giving in to the will of the other. That is why we need these face-to-face dialogues, these face-to-face relationships with other Christians. In small groups, in close friendships, so that we can obey God's commands. Christian submission, it is about sacrifice. Just because submission is not about all those bad things doesn't mean that it's going to be easy. If it is working, it will be hard and it will hurt. John chapter 15, verses 12 and 13 says, "My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, than to lay down their life for their friends." Now, laying down your life here is not just about dying. It's about giving up what we hold dear because our friend is even more dear to us. Giving up preference or honor or possessions. Giving up the TV remote. When you have the remote, you have the control. Laying down our lives for the lives of others. Christian submission, it is about honor. Romans 12:10 says, "Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor." We are to be a people who lift each other up, not knock each other down or cut each other to the quick. Now, Christian submission, it flows from the filling of the Holy Spirit. Verse 21 is deeply connected to verse 18. Verse 18 says, "Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit." Now, all the rest of the verses that come after this, all the rest of them are verbs are participles. They kind of go along with that and participate with that. They're ing verbs. Be filled with the Spirit. Speaking in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Singing and making music. Giving thanks. Submitting to each other. Our submission to each other is an outworking of the Spirit's filling in our lives. And as this is connected to the filling of the Spirit, we cannot do it without the grace of God flowing through our whole being. If you're having trouble with the discipline of submission, Ask the Holy Spirit to fill you and to move you and to help you in this area. Now, verse 21, some of the key phrase, and it closes with this, is out of reverence for Christ. See, just as we have submitted ourselves to Christ, we are to submit ourselves to each other. So how do you go about practicing this discipline of submission? We can build a life of submission by working on it as a discipline. Ask God, who do you want me to submit to today? Who do you want me to voluntarily give in to today? Who do you want me to come under today? Who do you want me to put ahead of myself today? Ask God where He wants you to submit. I believe that He will answer you, probably in ways that you aren't totally expecting. And I believe that He will give you somebody every single day. So Marys, you can submit, and as you can submit to God. You see, a thick and shapeless tree trunk would never believe that it could become a statue that is admired as a miracle of a sculpture, and would never submit itself to the sculptor's chisel and hammer, who sees by her genius what that stump could look like and make it into a beautiful statue. See, I ask for the grace to let myself be shaped by my loving Creator, to let God mold me and make me into what He sees that I can become. We can submit to God's Word. That doesn't mean that it will not be a struggle with Scripture. Nor does it mean that you can just turn your brain off. But when you come to a piece of Scripture that you don't totally understand, that you're struggling with, that you find a little bit difficult, give the Word the benefit of the doubt. Let the Spirit move you and let the Spirit work with you and allow it to shape you. We can submit to our families. I believe that God gives us families to practice love on. Because if we can love them, we can love anybody. And if we can submit to them, we can submit to anybody. The motto or the driving force for the household should be, let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also the interest of others. I said that with passion, didn't I? Now this passage from Ephesians that I just read for you, 15 through 21, it continues on from 21 to describe how we as family members should submit to each other. When you get the time, maybe read it a little bit later on. Men, a word of warning for you. We have 9 verses on how we are to submit to our wives and our children. Well, Paul actually only gives them 2 each. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22, continue on from there. We can submit to our neighbors, our co-workers, our friends. Here, submission looks a lot like service. Don't complain about your neighbor putting up a fence. Help your neighbor to build it. When a co-worker gets a promotion, help them. Help them as they move up. Let someone else get the glory for a job that the two of you did together. And today, Don did an awesome job cleaning up the floor downstairs, vacuuming and moving out all that water. I think he was working on it until the service started. I really do. Serve your boss like he or she is Jesus, even if they think they're God. We can submit to the Christian community. What I want you to do is to look around just a little bit. Look around behind you, to the sides of you. Look around. You see all those people who are sitting here? Those are all the one-anothers that God calls us to love and to serve, to lift up, and to honor above ourselves. We can submit to the broken and the despised. James 1:27 says, "Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world." There are a lot of areas where we can practice this discipline of submission. However, there are limits. You see, submission is an act of love. It is not loving to allow another person to continue to abuse you, or someone else, or even themselves. There are times when we are called to submit to one another, but not to submit to one another's sins. There are times when we need to submit to God rather than to human authorities who are asking us to go against Him. You see, when Peter and John, they were commanded by the Sanhedrin to stop talking about Jesus. And they responded like this in Acts chapter 4. "Which is right in God's eyes, to listen to you or to listen to Him? You be the judge. As for us, we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard." Now, mind you, there have been many arrogant people throughout the ages who have said we must obey God rather than men, just to excuse their desire not to submit to authority. If at any time you think that God is asking you or God is calling you not to submit to the authorities, tread very slowly in humility. Seek the counsel of trusted Christian friends who can help guide you and direct you and walk you through that. You see, the spiritual discipline of submission is about as countercultural as you can get. You may feel it within you as you bristle, as you wrestle with the very word submission. That is why we need to practice it, to till the soil of our soul. Now, if we practice it with humility, it will allow the Holy Spirit to reach down to the very earth of our soul and to pull out any bitter root of anger or envy or selfishness or even pride that might be growing in there. And as we wrap up this morning, my challenge for you, as we head into this month of June, my challenge for you is to practice the discipline of submission. Ask the Father today, as the worship team is leading us in this song, as we're singing, ask the Father today, who would you have me submit myself to today? Whom shall I come under and lift up in your name? Will you take that challenge?